Hey, this is Adam Richmond from Food Network UK, and you are feasting your ears on the Hotspur podcast. Come on, you Spurs.
Welcome to a brand new Hot Spurs podcast. It is 22nd of April on a Wednesday evening. I am Steve. I am in Leon C in Essex. And tonight we've got a couple of very special guests. First of all, returning, a triumphant return, is the almighty Colin. How are you doing, Cole?
Yeah, doing good, mate, doing good. Sorry I haven't been on, guys, you know, for the last few weeks, but busy, busy, busy. Driving around the country with a son of mine, football. I was over in Paris as well. So it was for 5 days with him and his team. And fantastic, fantastic 5 days, Disneyland. And won the tournament as well, Steve. So
yeah,
that was excellent. Real good stuff. So,
yeah, I know. I think we all know, Colin, to be honest with you. It was on Facebook. That it's good. It's great. Great to have you back. You've let me run my mouth off, though, with these other lovely guests. So
I know.
You've got to shut me up.
Yeah, good for a change, you know, good for a change. But no, I'm back and I say I'll try and get on as many weeks as I can here.
Oh, cool. Well, we got another guest coming up later on, which is really excited because this is a guy that I've been watching on telly for years and years, and he's on Man vs. Food. And then I found out my sister, a couple of years ago, tweeted me a picture of him in a Spurs shirt, and I was like, wow, okay. So we tried to get him on the show several times. I know he might have been another podcast, but there's going to be some really, really good questions that I'm going to ask him and find out once and for all if he is truly a Spurs fan. So keep listening for that. I won't hold back, listeners, I promise. I will ask all the questions that you want to know, even the doubters, the people that say, oh, you know, these Americans and this and the other. But, you know, obviously, you know, if you listen to this show, we are fully in the tank with anybody that says, can I be a Spurs fan? Yes, you can. I am the more the merrier, absolutely. Well, we got you from Northern Ireland, so maybe you shouldn't be a Spurs fan because you come from Northern Ireland, Cole. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's right. But actually, just it brought back memories there, actually, when I was over in Paris. And, of course, anybody that knows me, I'm Spurs nuts. And who was playing at the tournament? Arsenal Schools.
Was it?
And where we were staying at these ranches just outside Disneyland, of course, all the kids from all the teams. And when we first arrived, all I seen was Arsenal tops, you know, the training tops.
Yeah.
And I went, hold on, I'm not having this. So, of course, the Spurs top was straight out of the luggage and straight on. And all the kids in Christopher's team, most of them are sort of Man United, Liverpool. There's no Arsenal fans, thankfully. Yeah. A couple of Spurs boys as well, so of course, I got them all around, taught them a few songs, and as we were walking up to dinner every night or dandering up so the kids could go for a swim, of course, we sang the Spurs songs as we walked along, and every one of those kids joined in, and especially when we seen the Arsenal boys, and they just stared at us. You know, they didn't know what was going on, and so we got well into them. Plus, we beat them as well, so that was great.
Yeah, fantastic. I must say, I watched the Reading game, that FA Cup semi-final, and when the ball went through the Reading keeper's legs in extra time, I thought, good for them, because they deserve a little bit of luck, don't they? I mean, last year they had to get through the mighty Wigan on penalties, and then of course they had Hull in the FA Cup final, whereas we have to play Chelsea seemingly in every single cup final we're in.
Yeah.
All right, Blackburn, Portsmouth, I know. But, you know, two seasons in a row. And now they've got, of course, Aston Villa and with our mate Sherwood. Just remind me, Cole, were you pro or anti-Sherwood?
I think we sort of gave him the benefit of the doubt, but sort of went against him towards the end and was sort of quite glad to see him go.
Yeah,
and to be honest,
towards the end, but we should have got behind him when he was in charge because nothing was going to change.
Nothing was going to change.
It amazes me how people still go on about it. Sorry, guys. At this moment in time, he is winning. So you can slag him off all you want on Twitter and all your Facebook. He is doing fantastically at Aston Villa. And he's fully right to say what he did with our youth players, because He was the coach in charge, so of course he's going to say those things. Especially when he keeps getting knocked down for it. He's
still
defended himself, isn't he?
Still wouldn't have him back, but
of course you can't have him back. But you know, what I'm saying is, you can keep going on about once a gooner, always a gooner, and all this sort of stuff, trying to make yourself feel better. But he's in an FA Cup final. We're not.
That's it. Well, here, you know? we'll all be supporting him anyhow in FA Cup Day.
So I saw that thing on Sky, and Sky Sports said that, no, we've got to support Arsenal, because if they win, that means we're in Europa. Yeah. All right. Up to you. We'll talk about Europa tonight, I'm sure. Right, let's get into these questions then. Marcus Aurelius asks, how does Poch reinvent Kane in order to avoid second season syndrome? Straight in with the easy questions, Carl. What do you reckon?
Yeah, it's a good question. Personally, I think Kane's a different kind of player. You know, I think it is going to be tougher. It's always tougher for these young guys that come through, and you know, they seem to have a wonder season. But there's something about this kid which I think is different, and I'm more than confident that, you know, that he'll have another really good, strong season. The biggest thing is that everybody needs to remember, you know, if he doesn't hit the ground running, scoring a few goals in the first 3-4 games, that nobody gets on his back and everybody starts slagging the guy off. I think he'll be fine. You know, I think, you know, he's level-headed, keep his feet in the ground. But I'm trying to remember, I think it was Match of the Day that I seen, and I'm trying to remember the pundit that, I don't know if you can remember, that mentioned that, you know, he needs someone fast up beside him. You know, if you had a real quick player up front. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, possibly who's brought in to play with the guy next year.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing about Kane is it's his effort, isn't it? Whereas someone like, if you take a wonder season, like someone like a Michu a couple of seasons ago, who had a similar season, didn't he? Brilliant, you know, really good. Everyone talking about him. And then the next season, did he go out on loan, or just faded for 6 months or whatever? So it's not really Poch who needs to do anything. I think it's Kane, because it's not about training the guy. It's about, I don't know if it's motivational, but Kane just needs to stay level-headed, which he has been, and he just needs to keep working hard. And I noticed that he had dropped off a little bit in the last couple of games, but then against Newcastle, I just noticed in the second half, about midway through the second half, he was chasing after a ball, and he had a look on his face like, I haven't scored in a few games here. I really want a goal. Did you see it? And then for the corner, when it came in and the goalkeeper made an amazing save, it was as if, like, no, I'm getting on the end of this, you know. And then he had a couple of other chances where he was sort of, you could see him desperately trying to look for a shot. And then when he went away at the end, I bet he was sort of, you know, you better pass it to me. You know, and he finished so well, you know, reminiscent of Fiorentina, of course, where Soldado played the worst pass in football history.
You sort of knew when he went through there at the end that he was going to score.
Yeah.
You know, it was never in doubt on it.
But that effort and determination to do it, you know, as long as he keeps that going.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I think he'll be fine. You know, I think he's got that in him. He's got that fight and determination. So.
Yeah,
you know, he'll be good. He'll
yeah, because it's not like a player that people suss out. You know, I'll put him on his left, he'll be all right. I'll put him on his right, or if you get tight to him, or I don't think he's that sort of player. You know, Alan Shearer was unstoppable for the fact that he knew where the goal was, and I think Kane's the same. Hopefully, anyway, may not be. You know, we'll find out. Andy Commons, our old friend from the old Tottenham Football Fancast, when it used to be good. And now, that's a joke. It's a joke. Andy Commons, have the players decided amongst themselves to finish outside the European places? Psychoanalysis of players going on there. It's not possible, is it? Because I don't think there's any way, unless Aston Villa win the FA Cup and we finish seventh, which is possible because we've got Southampton this weekend. You know, I think that we're going to be in Europa next season. I don't see how the players, you know, are they on the beach? Are they looking for moves? It's like last season, their head's all over the place. What do you think, Carl?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. I know what he means. And I think if we had lost to Newcastle there at the weekend, we'd have maybe started to think that way. Because, funny, after the Burnley performance, I know I wasn't on the show, the Burnley performance was woeful, as was the following game against Aston Villa. And I started to think that way. Like, are these guys maybe, someone said something like, just don't win any more games. Let's just finish seventh and hope that we don't get into this tournament. But after Newcastle's performance, but no, it tells a lot because with Southampton this weekend, obviously they're going to be well off for it with Pochettino going back, and also with Man City the week after. So they're sort of the two big games. We lose both those games, and you know, here we could be cheering on Aston Villa for a few other reasons. Personally, and I know you've discussed it loads of times, I'd be quite happy now if we finish seventh and Aston Villa win the cup. I really would, just to have a clear run at it just a season.
Is it? I've been saying three seasons, but is it? I think it's four seasons of Europa Cup spoiling our season. And you know, there's no that word spoiling. Is an opinion to a certain extent, but it certainly hasn't helped our season.
Yeah.
So it's either helped or hindered, one listener, Terry Hill, a good friend of the show, said that it wouldn't matter whether we were this season if we'd have played in Europa or not. We still would have lost at home to Stoke, Newcastle, last-minute equaliser against West Ham. It wouldn't have affected those results. In my opinion, my humble opinion, I think that we'd have got a little bit better results had we not been in Europa. But, hey, who am I to know what would have happened?
It's a difficult one, and as we've said before as well, look, it's a Thursday night. I'm quite happy to be coming home from work and be able to watch Spurs on a Thursday night as well.
It's great. Yeah. It's lovely. But just one season without, see how we get on.
Yeah.
But you know what? If we still, you know, lose these games to lower league sides, you know, well, I'll hold my hands up and say, right, fine. Yeah. You know, it doesn't matter either way. We'd be back in Europe. But, you know, as Andrew Rockle says also, you know, it's a case of missing Spurs on a Thursday. I do enjoy watching Spurs, obviously, on a Thursday. But I'm not, like, leaping around the room like I would, for example, in the League Cup.
Yeah.
Like where we beat Newcastle. It was a great night. I was leaping around Nottingham Forest because I know a couple of my mates are Nottingham Forest fans. Brighton, I don't know any Brighton fans, but I'm sure listeners do. Going to work the next day, yeah, you know, we beat Brighton. Whereas on a Europa night, yeah, we beat whichever Finnish side. You know, there's no one at work who supports that side. So it's all that going on as well. Do you know what I mean? And then, of course, the embarrassment of Leicester, where at the time, running up to that game, lots of people were saying this is not an important game. We're still in the League Cup. We're still in Europa. We've got to put one to the side. We'll put the FA Cup to the side. And I just think that's wrong. When you look at what's going on now, you know, with this FA Cup coming up, and I'm not saying it would have been us, but I just think it's better to be in the FA Cup, and Europa is the fourth choice. Other people have other opinions. That's absolutely fine. But if you're like me and you're not particularly excited about beating, you know, these sides in far-flung Eastern Europe, then, you know, it's entirely up to you. Cole?
It's the way I sort of feel as well. I know it's great to be in Europe and things, but we don't want to run on about it all night again because we've talked about it so many times. But, you know, it is... It's just there's so many games and there's many poor games. If they would just even turn around and say, look, there's going to be one group from the start and then it goes in the straight knockout, I'd be well off for it. Well off for it.
Mm. Well, maybe, if Arsenal were in it or a side, you know, because you're kind of competing against them. Yeah,
but you've got your Champions League sides that do drop into it, which then does form some good games. Mm. To me, you know, they shouldn't be coming into it. It just goes, everybody that qualifies for it goes into group stages, and then top two teams go through and you go into a two-legged affair. Yes. And I think so many more teams around the country would be well up for it, you know, really would. But I say, let's not ramble on about Europa all night.
We're going to be in it next year. So the next question, I suppose, when we qualify for it is, how are we going to deal with it? And that's a matter for if that happens. All right, brilliant. Now, what we'll do, Cole, is we obviously spoke to Adam Richman as well this week, and here's the interview now.
What's going on, brother?
Really, really good. How are you?
Good. It's all gravy. I'm ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, it's going to be a Spurs fest. How about that?
It's all good, my brother. Don't even worry about it.
Yeah, very briefly, here's my history with regards to yourself. A few years ago, flicking around the TV channels, come across this program where this fella shoves a great big burger in his mouth and just goes, oh, isn't this the most delicious thing ever? I'm watching it like, I've never seen a program like this before, ever. So absolutely fell in love with it. About 6 months later, my sister sends me this message, this picture with you, who I'd banged on about for 6 months, holding a Spurs shirt. And I'm like, what? What is going on? So one of my favourite programs, and now you're a Spurs fan. I was like, right, I've got to get you on the show. So I tweeted you, and obviously, you know, you were busy and things were happening. But you're finally here. Absolutely brilliant. And you're a massive Spurs fan. Wow.
Yeah, I am indeed. It's I'm just so flattered and excited that, you know, a team with that kind of history and a fan base with that kind of history have embraced me to the degree that they have.
Yeah, I mean, as I've said many times on the show, I absolutely love fans from different countries. I've been over to America several times and been to see, a bit of ice hockey. I saw Wayne Gretzky a couple of times, and say that to an English person, they're like, who? But apparently he's like the Pelé of hockey. And I managed to see the only two ice hockey games I've ever seen, and he played in both of them. But when I sat down in the seat, everyone was chatting away. And I just think that, you know, anyone that comes and sits next to me, if they're from a different country or from a different part of England even, you know, it's great just to chat to somebody different and, just get a different perspective on things. Absolutely brilliant. Listen, you know, as I say, we're, we talk about Spurs. We've got Southampton tomorrow.
Sure do.
Yeah, I mean, what would be your 1 to 11? What would be your team if you were Pochettino?
If I was Poch.
Yeah, go on. What would your 1 to 11 be?
I mean, here's my thing. It would have to be, and I don't know how match fit everyone is, you know, but you're dealing with a team in Southampton where the teams that have really had success against them, you know, you look back at Swansea, even, you know, Burnley, though they lost, you know, really gave them a heck of a game. And it's it speaks to the quality, you know, because I remember everybody thought Southampton was going to, towards relegation when their whole first team got picked apart by Liverpool and us
nicking their manager
everywhere. Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, to see where they are, to see, that they play such intense attacking ball and high pressing ball. But it's interesting because you really see that it's about, you know, the counterattack, hitting on the counterattack, using things like, you know, really using the wide areas, pulling the fullbacks into areas they don't want to go. The other thing is they do a lot of, you know, they like to bring the opposition into wide areas and, you know, try to get like trapping the ball on the sideline. So you're going to want, you know, really fast wingers that actually really don't concede the ball a lot. So for me, I mean, look, I will confess to a man crush on Christian Eriksen. So he's always going to be in my 11. Yeah. Harry Kane, you know, I was lucky enough to have interviewed him once and, you know, communicated with him a couple times subsequently. So obviously you want Harry Kane. I mean, he's confident now, he's in form, he's super strong. I think that it would be foolish not to have, I think Townsend has really been way more reliable, in my opinion, than Lamella, for sure. I think, obviously, Loris in the back.
If he's fit,
you know, and again, yeah. You know, Danny Rose has really proven that he has jets that, you know, I remember when Gareth Bale and he and Benny Okoto were switching the left back position.
Yeah.
So to see, I would probably say Danny Rose on the left. Kyle Walker on the right, Vertonghen and Dyer up the middle, and
Kyle Walker's definitely injured, so he's out.
Is he definitely injured? He's definitely out.
Yeah, and Loris.
So
Loris,
go on. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say Loris is possibly out, but Vorm obviously would come in for him. And then you've got so yeah. Who would you play on the right? I mean, are you going with Eric Dyer?
Probably. I would say it's weird because Dyer is super strong. I wonder though because Ben Davies is also generally a fairly quick. I mean, I remember when he was playing for Swansea. Mm. You know, he doesn't have the sort of physical aggression that Vertonghen and Dyer do. And I think that you're going to really want to provide as much coverage for Vorm as you can. So I don't know. I mean, I've seen everyone from, you know, on the wing. I've seen, you know, them have Fazio on the outside and then Fazio on the inside. But I definitely would say Rose, Vertonghen, Dyer. I'm inclined to go Davies before Fazio, just by virtue of the fact that I've seen him. And like you know,
What about your man
Yedlin?
Yeah, I was going to say, what about Yedlin? Is he any good? I don't know. I haven't got a clue.
I mean, he was wonderful in the World Cup.
Yeah.
You know, and as an American, I obviously have an affinity for him personally.
Yeah.
He's quick. He can bring the ball down at pace. Great first touch. Really great cutting off the touchline. But I think he needs time to settle in. That's my opinion. Watching him in the Villa game was an eye-opener, to say the very, very least. So, I have to say, I met Ben Davies. I'm very fond of him. I think he's a good guy. I don't know what Yunus's deal is, where Kabuhur is. And I haven't seen Chirich's play enough, like really focused on his play to really speak to it in an authoritative manner. But... you know, guys that have been a little battle-hardened already while wearing the cockerel on their chest are the guys that I would go with. You know, Vertonghen is awesome. It's funny, I watched one of the cup games, I think it was versus Besiktas,
yeah.
And I sat in a suite at White Hart Lane with Jermaine Defoe, and it was amazing for me as a fan anyway, but he, I'll never forget what he says, he goes, you know, with Danny, you know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
And he's you know, quick, really good footballer brain, smart crosses to the center. And that's why I would say in front of the back four, I'd probably put someone like, keep thinking about that beautiful header that Harry Kane had about a couple months ago with that lovely cross in from the touchline by Bentaleb.
That's right, yeah.
Central defending midfielders is something that Spurs have in abundance at this point.
I think, are you going Mason or Paulinho? Or maybe Dembele?
Yeah, that's a hard one. The thing is, I've seen them bring on Dembele as a super sub,
yeah.
And I think that I would also do that too because he has the ability to play in an attacking capacity, an attacking midfielder capacity, and finding good, clever through balls and really clever hold-up play. You know, I think that, you know, I really have to say I have been absolutely, when we signed him, I was very hesitant about Nasser Chadli, and now he's really emerged.
He's got
a force to be reckoned with.
He's got a play.
I went to the Cap One Cup final with my buddy Nicky, who, you know, he came through the Spurs youth system. He went to, he ended up playing for Peterborough for a while, but he actually said the funniest thing. He said, man, Chadli has like pillows on his feet.
Yeah.
And he's so deadly from the wing and really great in terms of bringing crosses and crossing up the wing back. So I think you definitely going to want Chadli in an offensive attacking position from the wing. I don't know. I mean, Mason, you know, you always want to go with the guy in form because he has a lot of confidence. But Paulinho and Bentaleb are so good at protecting that back four,
yeah,
that when you have a team that's going to press, I mean, Mason has really good attacking instincts too. And I don't think of him as sort of a physically imposing presence like I might think like Capoue or Bentaleb or Paulinho. So for a team that presses as hard as Southampton does, I may say someone like Paulinho, who you can trust to steal possession, or someone like Bentaleb before I would put Musa in. I'd save Musa in case, you know, what if, God forbid, Eriksen or one of the attacking cogs in the attacking machine go down. You're going to want to have Musa on the bench with fresh legs to come in either a holding capacity, a sort of midfield maestro capacity, and do kind of hold up play and really have that beautiful field vision and the strength on the ball. And he's virtually unplayable when he wants to be. So, you know, I think Lamela would be a sub, you know, the playing is really erratic and
yeah.
And I'm not entirely convinced, you know, it's not like one of those things like Soldado where you're like, oh, dude, this guy's a bust. That thing's thrown down the damn toilet.
It's such a shame because he started pretty well and then he scored a few penalties, but you know, it's we all know the inevitability with him, unfortunately. I think we're all resigned to that. Listen, mate, I mean, what I wanted to do, obviously, you know, you get asked questions all the time by different people, and probably when people come up to you and what have you. But what I thought I'd do. By the way, I've been watching your new show, and
Thank you again.
It's absolutely brilliant. And what I thought I'd
do here was
instead of asking you all the same questions that you normally get asked, I thought I'd go off the menu a little bit, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Yeah, do you like a little link there off the menu? Now, when I go on holiday, right, one of the first things I do is I look up the fixtures. And I think, right, okay, if I'm in Spain or lucky enough to go to Dubai or something, I think, right, okay, there's that game, that game, that game. So what I want to ask you is when your producers sort of say, right, okay, we're going to Atlanta this week or we're going to New York this week or wherever we're going this week, do you sort of think, right, okay, fine, and do you look on your phone and look at the Spurs fixtures and think, right, okay, I know a pub there that I can watch the game. I know I can watch it. Do you do that? Do you sort of think, okay,
you know,
I've got to schedule the Spurs game in somewhere?
You know what the thing? Well, first of all, I executive produce my shows, so I definitely, you know, have a say in schedule. But generally speaking, the shoot days are rather long. The shortest day we have is 10 hours. So the notion of watching a game on a shoot day is just sort of not happening. I have a couple really good apps on my phone, Fotmob and Forza, that actually link to a radio feed. And it's gotten me in a little trouble. My cousin is actually a United States Secret Service agent. And I went down to his wedding in D.C. And here were his colleagues, all of whom, you know, protect the United States president or the FBI, his friends in training and stuff. And all of a sudden, I'm the one with an earpiece in. And it was like that brunch after the wedding. And it was the North London Derby. And there was no way I wasn't like listening to the game, considering I couldn't watch it. And people are making toast and eating their eggs Benedict, and I couldn't give a rat's ass. I'm like sitting there, and my mother's like, "You should take your piece out." I'm like, "Not gonna happen, Mom. Not gonna happen." And I ran it up the inside of my sweater.
Yeah.
So my cousin's friends in the Secret Service, they just thought I was kind of making a Secret Service joke with the earpiece in. So I was like, yeah, totally what I'm doing. I'm like, oh, wait, 1 second. Oh, we scored. Nice. So the funniest thing is, like, everybody was calm and eating their croissant, whatever.
Yeah.
And we scored. And I get a Nora. Yes. And people look at me. I'm like, this is really good eggs Benedict. Really good.
And they're like, yeah, all right, you don't have to do the show thing now. You know, you're like, there's the crunch, the sweetness of the onion, all that sort of stuff that you say.
Dude, you are hired, my dude.
Sorry, I was watching the other day, and you said, "Oh, the crunch in this, the sweetness," and then you said, "Actually, why am I talking?" And you took a huge other bite of this thing that you're eating. It's a brilliant line. You're like, "Why am I even talking? I need another bite of this thing." It was brilliant.
Thank you, man. I remember the dish you're referring to. You know, the thing is also this, that because of the time difference, especially if I'm on the West Coast, and it adds another 3 hour difference, the games are incredibly early here in the U.S. So generally speaking, it gets a little dicey in terms of going to a pub to watch it because first finding it and leaving that early. And if we wrap at like 11 p.m., you know, as much as I love the game, you know, like at home, for example, if I have a day off, I'll set my alarm and, you know, sit there in a bathrobe.
Yeah.
You know, chanting, "Oh, when the Spurs come marching in," like a madman by myself in my tent, like a lunatic. But on the road, if I am not listening to it, or if I can't get some kind of simulcast through NBC Sports, who is the rights holder for the premiership in the U.S., I tend to just set my DVR, and I will watch all the games once I get home, because I find that they're all really good learning experiences for me. But generally speaking, I'll just get audio or I'll do a game track on one of those apps and get notifications.
Yeah.
And it was funny because my director's brother is one of my lead PAs, and he supports Woolies Wanderers. And I was like, please, dude, if you wear one red and white jersey to my set, don't make me fire you. Please don't make me fire you. And it was I had actually posted a picture. We were shooting in Atlanta, actually, the day of the North London Derby when they had that that blinder from the edge of the box. And we lost 1-0 on that one goal, I think, or 2-0 all told. But like that was that the first goal came from AFC in like the first 2 minutes, if I remember correctly. And, you know, there's a picture on my Instagram of me with gloves that say THFC on it. And I wore them on set, and I was like, come on, boys. And seriously, like the whole shoot went to hell in a handbasket.
Have you ever tried to sneak a Spurs shirt on when you're filming? I know you wore a Spurs sweatband when you did the charity football game, but I wonder if you ever wore a Spurs cap or anything on a show.
Actually, if you watched last night, no, 2 nights ago, New Orleans.
Yeah.
You actually see, you know, Spurs have a charity called Spurs Wishes, which is like their Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Mm.
And I wore a Spurs Wishes band the entire season of Man Finds Sleep. So if you watch my right wrist, it has a white band with dark blue and light blue writing on it. And it says Spurs Wishes. A couple people on Twitter noticed it.
Yeah.
If you watch any of the close-ups from New Orleans, you'll see it on my wrist.
I will do, will do. I'm just wondering, actually, in America, so let's say per 100 people that come up to you, I know you must have loads of people come up to you, but say per 100 people, how many people come up and say, I mean, the vast majority probably say, oh, you know, what's the best burger you've ever had, or, you know, I saw this show, or such. How many, out of those 100, how many say, well, what about Tottenham, eh?
Literally, Sunday night, I flew into Los Angeles from New York. Sorry about that. What do you call it? I was on a flight, and this woman came up to me, and I was wearing a Tottenham hat.
Yeah.
And she actually said, literally, she went, come on, like an American. And she leaned down, and I, like you say, I expected her to say, like, love the show. What'd you eat? How much are you eating? Are you hungry? Are you full? Da, 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 da. And she like leans in and she goes, come on, you Spurs. And I said, up the Spurs. And then she goes, yeah, my husband supports Arsenal. And I said, ground for divorce. Ground for divorce.
Right, absolutely.
But so sometimes that'll, and actually, I'll never forget this as long as I live. We were shooting the pilot for Fandemonium, one of my last shows at Daytona 500. And there was this knucklehead sitting on the back of a golf cart, and he was in front of me, and he was like, Spurs suck, go Arsenal. And I was just like, I turned to my co-producer, Dan, who was in the front seat, and I go, hey, Dan, I'm going to point. I whispered to him. I go, Dan, I'm going to point to this guy like I'm ridiculing him, laugh really hard. And he did, and the guy got so upset. Like, I was like, and all of a sudden, he buckled laughing while pointing at him, and the guy came over and apologized. I was like, oh, I love the show, man. I was just kidding. I was just kidding. I'm like, too late, dude. Too late. See you in North London, bitch.
I'm going to have to edit out all these swear words, by the way, Adam, because I'm a school teacher.
Sorry.
So.
Fair enough.
No, that's all right. Do you know when you went on the pitch? It was last season, wasn't it? And you gave a brilliant speech, rousing speech, and you know, about Tottenham till you die and all that sort of stuff. I know I sit up in the West Upper, and there's a few people around me, kind of some of the older Spurs fans, sort of saying, "Who's that bloke down there?" And I was sort of explaining the show, and what is it like MasterChef? And I know it's not exactly like MasterChef. It's more of a comfort food type thing, you know. And so anyway. Explain it, but one thing you said in your little speech, which just everyone sort of went oh, was when you said that Gareth Bale was one of the reasons why you supported Spurs. And I just thought to myself, do you know what I thought? Too soon, Adam. Too soon. Everyone's still hurting a little bit from that.
You know something, and I get a lot of stick. I'm not going to support. I'm American, and I'm going to support this British team like an American. I think that if I start going. You going down the lane, down the pub, isn't it? Going to say at the Bill Neat, yeah? Going to go down there and have a beer. They're like, get the hell out of here, you Brooklyn Jew. Don't perpetrate. So it's like, I'm damned if I do and I'm damned if I don't.
Yeah.
The bottom line is, watching him drag Maicon up and down the touchline in Champions League was inspirational.
It was
and
funny.
If he still had a cockerel on his chest, you absolutely, without question, would be right there with me.
Would you swap him with Harry Kane if the opportunity came up?
I think apples to oranges.
Yeah.
He's not a striker. I mean, I was the first game I ever saw live because I'm friends with Clint Dempsey. And when Clint was with Spurs, he got me tickets to my first game was the North London Derby at Emirates that we lost 5-2 after Adebayor got red carded. And, you know, those goals, I mean, the first one was Ade's, and then the second was Gareth. And he really, I mean, he's a gamer. Is he better than Harry Kane? I mean, I think that it's a different style of play. You have a right-footed center forward and a left-footed, super-fast winger. They're not one and the same. I don't think you can compare them. That's like saying Jermaine Defoe or Harry Kane. I mean, they're both strikers, but a very, very different style, very different physique. And honestly, what Harry Kane has done for the fan base by virtue of the fact that he's one of our own, you know,
That's
something you can't overlook. He's an incredibly nice guy, an incredibly humble guy, a very sweet person. And I think it's a different animal completely, 110%. Would I swap him, assuming Lamella played on the left and not the right? Absolutely, in a heartbeat.
Mm.
In a heartbeat. The return on investment from Lamella has been marginal. The Rabona goal, you know, 3 months ago, I was at the game. It was awesome.
Yeah.
But what he was at Roma and what he is for us, it's like Soldado at Valencia and Soldado for us. Very different.
Yeah, I'll give him one more season, see how he gets on, because he was injured virtually the whole of last season. And I do want to see if he can do it. But I'll tell you what, you know, if 6 months into next season, he's still sort of giving the ball away so often, you just got to say, right, okay, you know, let's give somebody else a go. But
I actually met Spurs played New York Red Bulls. I don't know how many years ago. I saw all three of their games in the States. I saw them play Galaxy.
Yeah.
I saw them play Red Bulls, and then I saw them in Maryland versus Liverpool.
Yeah.
And
when Charlie Adam tried to kill Gareth Bale
again.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, I mean, that goal from half, you know, from actually over the half line was impressive, but I find it to be an odious human being.
Yeah.
That's putting it politely. I like when Gareth called him a coward. But here's my thing is, you know, that whole season under AVB, and it was cool because I got to meet Gareth. I met Van de Vaart. I met Gomez.
Did you meet Sylvia?
I speak pretty fluent French. So I was hanging out and talking with Benny Okoto and William Gallas.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I said, you know, hello, Mr. This is, of course, before the whole Quenelle incident.
Yeah.
Okoto. You know, then I would have been like, all right, you and me outside, homeboy. But he was like, I said, you know, hello, Mr. Okoto, please, Benoit, no, me still, any senior. And I started talking with him. And then I had a really good long talk with Gallas, who's a really cool guy. And I had just interviewed
He smokes about 40 a day, doesn't he, Gallas?
Maybe now, I don't
sounds
know.
Like, sounds but like I, he does.
But I got a chance earlier in the day to interview Timu Taino and Thierry Henry for Barclays TV. And, you know, it was very interesting being able to get Thierry talking about Spurs was interesting enough. But to get Gallas giving his thoughts on Titi was equally interesting. But, you know, that season, the reason I mention it, you know, Vertonghen was the key pickup there. I mean, and, you know, Loris, obviously, but Gylfi Sigurdsson, it makes me upset that we let him go.
Yeah.
You know,
bad
and you look at
bad moves.
Bad move, in my opinion, too. And I have friends with the team and that, you know, that beautiful top 90, upper 90, you know, PK that he's been doing for Swansea, and he's attack minded. I watched him in multiple games, wide open in the middle, and you know, to me, look, had he had great seasons and on his day, is he great? Yeah, but Adebayor has overstayed his welcome, especially when it came out that he was he had a go at Harry Kane about how much distance he covered in the game and how Kabul sort of took up for Ade and all that stuff. I just it's just a lot of lumber on the bench that we just don't need.
Got to ship out a few.
Yeah, I just think to me what killed me was when Dempsey left Fulham. I always felt we should have gotten Pavel Pogrebniak. You know, Podolski, now once he made that obnoxious comment of I would never have signed with Tottenham, whatever, I mean, screw him. But I always thought that he had potential. I wanted, and I told Thierry this when I interviewed him, that I wanted us to get Loic Remy before he went to QPR. I still think he would make an asset. Now I know that there's talk about approaching Bentaleb, but Bentaleb has also gone on record saying he's an Arsenal fan, saying he didn't want to play for Tottenham. He's a strong, fast striker, yeah, and he's great. I don't, and he's kind of holding it down for Villa in many respects. But I think that, I don't know. I there's some guys, you know, you have what's them Austin, also a QPR. That's you know had a very impressive run of form, but he's also very much a cipher in his style of play and even his physique for Harry Kane. And I think to a different degree, that's why I like the notion of, you know, someone like either, you know, Loic Remy. Even though he's a winger, I think Leroy Fair in QPR, I've been wildly impressed by him. And you have to remember the Tottenham that I began rooting for, I mean, we had Pavlyuchenko with VDV and Defoe, and there was firepower, man. And like our back four was sick.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kyle Walker was coming into his own and had his first goal in North London Derby and blowing kisses to his parents. Bale flying up and down the wing. Luka Modric in the center of the park. And like my countrymen in the goal. You know, it was an inspirational and very different team. I also felt that Pavel Pogrebniak, his link-up play was really quite special. And, you know, now looking to the future, you look at Ali Dali, who just finished his loan spell with MK Dons and got didn't he get like player of the
The championship. I think he was player of the championship. Best player.
Yeah, he was the player. The entire, if I'm not mistaken, it's the Football Association Young Player of the Year. I'm fairly certain. So you have someone like him, and yeah, it was he got the Young Player Award for the entire lower league system.
Yeah. So that's an exciting one.
Stephen, we just have time for about one or two more questions.
Oh, I've given him a little bit longer answers, Teal. Can we extend it a little bit longer for him?
Sure. I feel like you guys could chat all day. It's so funny.
Yeah. I want to make sure you get what you came for.
Stephen, like 10 more minutes, okay?
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, totally. I wrote down about four questions because I knew that, and I'm not going to blow any more smoke because I think you know that I'm a massive fan. But I knew that you could talk, so I only wrote down about four questions, and I knew that you'd go. I have got a couple of little funny questions for you though. Have you ever had a doner kebab?
I have, but not. Oh, actually, I had a kebab outside of TalkSport. before I did Hawksby and Jacobs.
Okay.
My first press junket there. But
did Bill Hawksby buy it for you? Because I know he likes loves a doner kebab, I'm sure of it.
But no, I had gone to a little shop that the cat that was driving me around had taken me to. But you know, you gotta remember I'm from Brooklyn, so getting stuff like kebabs and shawarma, that's as easy as walking down Atlantic Avenue, my brother.
But I mean, a doner kebab, because when I watch your show, the way that you eat those burgers is like when we eat doner kebabs, which at 2 a.m. in the morning, after we haven't met the woman of our dreams, we stumble into a kebab shop and we shove it down our throats to cheer ourselves up. That is Friday, Saturday night ritual. The other one, have you ever had a Cornish pasty?
Yeah, So I have had a version of it in Man vs. Food, Butte, Montana, and I got such, I don't want to say hate mail, but because, you know, there were massive amounts of English miners in Montana.
Right.
And that's why the pasty, but, you know, you can't forget it. It's Montana in the U.S. of A. It's America, baby. So they melt cheese and put chili on it. And like Cornwall, the Twitter community of Cornwall lost their collective mind.
Because I think if you ever did a Man versus Food or a Man Finds Food in England, you'd have to do the English culinary dishes rather than burgers and wings, and you'd have to go to Cornwall. You'd have to go to
Staffordshire oatcakes.
Yeah,
I'd have to go to Grimsby for fish and chips. I would have to do the pasties in Cornwall.
That's
Scouse in Liverpool.
That's it.
I'm with you.
Yeah. So, and pies, you know, and go to Melton Mowbray for the pork pies and the Scotch eggs and all that sort of stuff. Fantastic. And
I actually went
go
to,
on, mate.
I got a lot of stick because I filmed a promo for Food Network UK at Manzi's, which is the oldest pie and mash shop in London. But come to find it's for the Upton Park, the Bowling Ground lot.
Yeah.
And because... So 3 years ago, over 3 years now, you know, look, as I say, I'm an American, and I was a little bit of an initiate in terms of euphemisms like support.
Yeah.
And in America, you know, it's like, I'm a Miami Dolphins fan, but, you know, if a New York team is in the Super Bowl, clearly I know, you know, I'm going to gravitate towards them. If a New York team is playing... But, you know, one thing we can do in an American football event is if the Redskins are playing the Cowboys, a Redskins fan could sit next to a Cowboy fan and there's no risk of disembowelment. You guys have to put the away supporters in a corner with two lines of police and riot gear, horses with blinders with actual eye protection on. You know what I mean? So it's a very different thing. And so I had put out a tweet saying – And I forgot, and I now know the euphemism is, I support X, but I have a soft spot for Y, Z, whatever.
Yeah.
So what happened was I had made the decision that because I was watching the game, I loved the game, but I felt not having a team just sort of left me in the mush.
Yeah.
And some of my friends said, dude, if you have a team, never let it be known because half, you know, one part of the British populace will love you, and everyone else will want to have, you know, what do they say, have your guts regarded.
And whatever you do, don't pick two teams.
Right.
And I think that's what happened in the tweet, wasn't it?
No, not at all. What happened in the tweet was this. No. So I made the decision that I didn't want to support the same teams that every other American was, so I wasn't going to do the Big Four.
Yeah.
I initially said this, and I put the tweet out, I said in an interview, and I'd rather be honest because look, if people are going to hate, they're going to hate, they ain't going to pay my rent.
Yeah.
I said,
well, let's nip this in the bud right now. What happened? And let's never speak of it again.
No, and I'm glad that I have the opportunity to set the record straight. So,
So
I had said, much like every American, I started saying, oh, Man U, because why? It's the team we heard about the most in the UK, in the US, rather, I beg your pardon. It is the team that has the biggest support here next to Liverpool in the States, especially now that Liverpool is owned by the same family that runs the Red Sox, which is, I'm a Yankee fan, dyed in the wool, so there is no way I'm ever supporting. And I respect Liverpool, and I have a lot of dear friends, and I respect what Shankly and Dalglish built, but the Fenway Association right there, like, no. But I said I wasn't going to support Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool, or Man U when I ultimately realized that, like, well, Man U has all this money, and they've traditionally been this juggernaut since Fergie took over, and I didn't want to do it. And so, as I said, I had watched that Champions League match, watched Bale, blew my mind, watched a few more games, watched, and at that point, you know, Luka Modric and Van de Vaart were in the middle of the park, and they were just, you know, they Harry Redknapp would play Van de Vaart in the hole, and it was so exciting, and they had an American on their team, so the tweet said, And okay, I want to also preface it with one other fact. My great-grandfather is from Leeds.
Yeah.
And my family's always had a connection with England as a result of that. My parents went there as part of one of the destinations on their honeymoon, and we had church rubbings, you know, from Westminster Abbey in my living room growing up. So there's always been that Anglophilic sensibility, but we actually have links to Yorkshire.
Yeah.
So there was that. And my point was, when I was watching an Arsenal game, you know, Arsenal-Chelsea or something like this, I wouldn't watch. But there were teams I didn't know about, didn't even know their names, and I wanted to – those were the teams I wanted to invest in. So at that point, you had – Wolverhampton was in the Prem. You had Watford, I think. Am I wrong?
No.
I want to say the Watford Mooses. But at any point
– Paul Robinson scored.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember the West Ham United. So I'm friends with Nick Frost.
Right.
He's diehard West Ham.
Yeah,
diehard.
The actor, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and die like to the core.
Yeah.
And I love Ray Winslow.
You can't, if you're a West Ham fan, you are a West Ham fan. I mean, that's
the core.
That's why I quite like them. I like you say, a soft spot. I do have a soft spot for West Ham because I do live in Essex, and I've taught for 9 years in Dagenham, so I'm surrounded by West Ham fans. And they speak with such passion and such knowledge, not just about their own club, but about Tottenham and all the rest. So you're right. I think if you're a West Ham fan, like a Spurs fan, you are full in and you know everything about your team. Go on, carry on, mate.
No, it's all right. And I was just saying, the West Ham that I started watching had Demba Ba,
yeah.
Carlton Cole, had Noble, Nolan, and Super Scotty Parker. So all of a sudden, you know, obviously the relegation thing happens and everyone goes to the four corners of the wind. And Scotty was already on Tottenham at that point.
Yeah.
But at that point, there was... you couldn't deny that there was a lot of talent there. And I thought it was so cool. You know, the player throws up the crossed eyes to the fans, they throw it back up to him. And again, it was a team that not a lot of Americans knew about, let alone supported.
Yeah.
And I think if any American really knew about Tottenham, it was either because of 61 or, you know, victories in cups in each decade, or because they had gone over and gotten Walker Crisps and they had seen Gary Lineker, or because of Jurgen Klinsmann's role with the U.S. national team. They didn't really know about the team. And I have bought, I would say conservatively, 8 different books through the Spurs shop. And actually John White's son sent me The Ghost of White Hart Lane,
yeah.
An autographed copy of that. So I've had to learn the history subsequent. So I had put in the tweet, for the last time, I support Tottenham. And then I wrote LUFC, because my grandfather. I wrote the word Irons.
Yeah.
And then I said New York Red Bulls and Barca. And
3 years ago, everybody, 3 years ago.
3 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, that was before I realized that.
As you're getting into it, yeah.
Right, exactly. And the tribal aspect of it. And I read Eric Cantona's famous quote, you can change your lover, you can change your spouse, you can change your job, you can change your religion, but you can never, ever change the football club you support. and supposedly that was the main reason why he wore his collar up at Man U, because he was covering up a Leeds United tattoo on the back of his neck. So that was then. It had died. And there was this really odious... interviewer, this guy who calls himself the Boy Hotspur, and he's kind of a coward, doesn't show his face, and this
yeah.
and the other. I had just spoken at Oxford, and this great thing, and you know what? We carved out what little time I had, because I had another meeting, a phone meeting that I had to take almost right afterwards, and it upset me that I couldn't take pictures with the kids from Oxford.
Yeah.
Because I had to do these interviews. But if I make a promise, I'm going to make a promise. So I did an interview, and he was unhappy apparently about the length of it, and also because I had given another Spurs podcast called The Fighting Cock an interview first. And the interesting thing was they found his post where he was like, so excited, my hero Adam Richman, exclusive. And then when he didn't have an exclusive, he got the hump with me, and then he just sort of launched this assault and tried to plant a seed of discord.
Yeah.
He found this tweet, and it literally said something like 697 days, you know, whatever, 600 X amount of days ago. He took a screenshot and he like sent it to all of his followers, and it just sort of generated a life.
Why? Why did he do that?
I mean, look,
I can't work out.
I mean, it's still, unfortunately, so I got a lot of stick because I went to the Capital One Cup final.
Yeah.
And people, and it really broke my heart. And I have to say, nearly like pushed me away from the club, because I have been asked by my friend who works at Spurs to tweet Spurs with the hashtag Spurs at Wembley so we could win the arch.
Yeah.
To get our colors on the arch.
Yeah.
And I had tweeted, my tweet said, so excited to see my beloved hashtag Spurs at Wembley. Now, what I meant was excited to see us playing in a cup final, you know, since I've begun supporting them, and to sort of put that hashtag out there. This is before I even had a ticket.
Yeah.
And Spurs fans descended on me en masse, calling me, you know, a freeloader and a plastic fan, and I didn't deserve it, and how many loyalty – I know you're a school teacher, so I can't go into what they actually called
me. Yeah.
How many loyalty points do you have, you mug? And people saying, you know, why don't you give your ticket to someone who it means something to? It's like, well, first of all, if I get a ticket, it clearly means something to me. And the other thing that people forgot was I was involved in the media for all three NFL games played at Wembley. I have contacts in media and contacts at Wembley. Spurs are an amazing organization. Why would they take a ticket away from a fan who has earned loyalty points and give it to me, no matter how much they love their show? That's preposterous, and it's not the case. And some guy was making up like he's already got his free flight and his free ticket. And I was like, I that was the one knucklehead I foolishly caved in and responded to.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, keep dreaming. Come back when you have a clue. And he's like, thing is, I've done my research. It's like, you've done no research and you're a full-faced liar.
Exactly.
And the fact is, it cost me so, I mean, I'm not going to get into, but like my flight, my ticket, my hotel, we're talking approaching, it was like a 5-figure endeavor for me for 30 hours in London.
Yeah.
And Woody Harrelson was sitting directly behind me.
Yeah.
Now, does anyone think that he took anyone's ticket away? And I will say this. I got one of the things I was excited about was it felt at first, you know, when I spoke and what the game you were referring to was Leicester City when I spoke on the pitch.
Yeah.
And Kyle Walker walked by me.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
I felt so embraced and I felt so loved. And I have to tell you, it broke my heart. The amount of and it was like the abuse came from Spurs fans that couldn't get a ticket, who somehow said I was somehow undeserving, that I somehow, that like this is what's wrong with the club, that I could get a ticket and they couldn't. Spurs would never do that to their fans.
Yeah.
And they would never give me something I didn't deserve, though I love the people that I know that work for the organization, and Pochettino and I have had a very nice rapport. Why would they do that to their loyal fan base? They wouldn't. There are seats reserved for media.
Yeah.
And I was able to purchase one of those. It wasn't a matter of me getting a freebie. It wasn't a matter of me taking a Spurs ticket. And it broke the vile base nature of people literally saying, I hope you die because I got a ticket to see this team. This is no exaggeration. I wear a cockerel around my neck. You've never seen it on TV because I don't make a thing of it. But I, as God is my witness, on my father's grave, I almost always have my keychains to my home. You know, my spare, everything's got a cockerel on it.
Yeah.
I have in my bedroom, I have a post sign that says, "And White Hart Lane and 17 in my home, hanging in my living room wall. I have, you know, a signed jersey framed in my living room. This isn't because I want to, like, cultivate some reputation. When I said I'm, you know, the future's bright, the future's lily white, and I'm talking until I die, I meant it. And I'm sorry that other people couldn't get tickets or they didn't have the financial wherewithal or another few loyalty points. But for someone to suggest a ticket that I purchased, I should give it to someone that it means something to. Well, I spent that money because it means something to me.
Yeah.
And what I should have said was in that tweet that they, and so during this cycle, someone regurgitated that tweet, which at this point was now closer to almost 4 years old,
yeah,
and started disseminating it and saying, look what a plastic fan he is, you know, Johnny Five Clubs and this. It's like, no, dude. And I've made it abundantly clear, and I just got tired of saying again, yeah, and again and again.
Yeah, Adam, you don't need to respond to any of these people, and I'm sure you know that already. I mean, you know, it's absolutely preposterous that somebody can tell another human being where they can be and who they can support and all this sort of stuff. It's absolutely rubbish. The whole presumption that you have to be born within 5 or 6 miles of Tottenham to support them and
right,
any of this
right.
sort of rubbish. I was born in Kent. My granddad was a Spurs fan, so that's why I chose Spurs. I should be a Charlton fan, really. But, you know, am I going to get someone telling me that I can't support my beloved Tottenham? Well, of course I'm not. My mate who I do this podcast with is from Northern Ireland. He will meet you face to face if you tell him that he can't support Tottenham. And, you know, so you just have to ignore this this whole stuff. And listen, you know, you've talked about it there for 10 minutes. So if anybody now dares to say, no, he's not a real fan, you know, get a life, seriously.
And, you know, and that's the thing, too. It's that, are you going to really look at the 66 team and look at Bobby Moore and all the contributions that the four men that wore claret and, you know, claret and blue and say their contributions were invalid? It doesn't make me, because I have a Bobby Moore England jersey. You know, that was the interesting thing, too. Some guy said he doesn't support properly. He's got a West Ham shirt. No, I don't. I have a Three Lions Bobby
You've
Moore.
You've got to
England
ignore shirt. It. You've got to ignore it.
Of course I do.
You know?
Of course I do. Because you know what the thing is? I could direct message Harry Kane and he'll write back because he knows what I'm about.
Yeah.
I could see Pochettino and speak in my broken Spanish about his beloved Argentina that I partnered with a winery there. And we can talk about Tupungato, Luján de Cuyo, Mendoza, Buenos Aires, and places I've been and have that affinity. Ben Davies, such a sweet guy. We were laughing about that show, The Valleys, and how it depicts Wales. And we were laughing about that. And the thing, and to sit with Jermaine Defoe and have Jermaine Defoe go, you're a good lad. That kind of thing, that I know is really what matters. And I know that those who you know, those who will love you, and those who will hate you. And if you get too concerned about one, you've lost so much of your life to it. And for me, I was just shocked at the severity of the reaction. And I understood a lot of it had to do with jealousy or acrimony. But, you know, I think that what was really interesting was after the match, though, so many people said, you know, saw him, wanted to have a go, but then I saw him taking pictures with every fan and he didn't have security or a bodyguard, and I didn't. Mm. Why would I?
Nah.
I had a pint and I did the thing and we went to the game and I went straight to Heathrow, flew through Mexico City, back to Los Angeles, and I was in a meeting 4 hours later. And, you know, I love the club and I love that it's a club that isn't someone that's like going to be the next PSG or Man City. And I'm not disrespecting the success of either one of those clubs, but let's just be honest. They have massive amounts of money coming from Qatar and the United Arab Emirates, and they've been able to buy, you know, Kun Aguero and able to have phenomenal Dzeko and just amazing talents on these teams. And you look at PSG and you got Zlatan and Thiago, so much firepower.
Yeah.
And you know, and money, and look at Real. I mean, like you say, too soon, Adam, with Bale, and I get it. And look, it was a terrible cut. In fact, go back through my timeline, I actually wrote to Gareth Bale, and I said, hey, man, actually, Paella is way overrated. And I go, okay, actually, it's freaking awesome, but I'll make you some in London. Don't go. But I will say this, to his credit, the day he signed with Madrid, he tweeted like four people about it. He tweeted, and this is the order it went. Lord Sugar, Javi Alonso, me, and then Gary Lineker. I was like, respect, dude. And look, would it be great had he stayed? Should we have let him go? In my heart of hearts, I don't think so. I think I lived in Cleveland when LeBron played there, and I saw you had one star without a true support network. And for me, I so wish they had given him someone, a world-class striker, to cross to and to put it in the back of the net, because you had him swinging. He would beat every guy, even his old roommate at Southampton, Theo Walcott. He'd beat him to the low corner. Beautiful curling cross like a Brazilian to the top of the six-yard box, and no one could latch onto it. Maybe Defoe, Adi sometimes, and just they didn't build enough of a structure. He wanted to play in Champions League. He loved Real since he was a kid. I can't hate. Yeah. And it's different. He's not Saul Campbell. He's not, you know, there are.
I'm going to edit that out as well. You're not allowed to say the name.
He's
like Voldemort.
Sorry,
Adam, No doubt.
Do you have any last questions?
No, it's brilliant. It's been brilliant. Listen, thanks ever so much for chatting to us. You know, it's been absolutely brilliant. I'm just ecstatic to be talking to you on a Friday night. As I say, I can't go out tonight or Saturday because I'm running the London Marathon on Sunday.
Oh, congratulations!
Yeah. So I've got to stay off the burgers, and it's pastoral day for me tomorrow, and then and London Marathon on Sunday. So yeah.
Well, I wish you luck, and as in the words of US soccer, try hard, run fast.
No, brilliant. Hey, listen, thanks ever so much. Okay, so that was a brilliant chat I had there with Adam Richman. Obviously, massive, massive Spurs fan. And like I said to you, Cole, anybody wants to be a Spurs fan, it's absolutely fine by me. Right, Cole. So, as we were saying before, Chris Knights, do people really think this has been a successful season, and will next year be any different? In terms of, you know, if the same situation in terms of Europa, I can't see it being any different because of the last 4 years. So that's why I would quite like to come out of it. You know, sorry about Europa, but that is part of this question. Whereas, you know, if things change, we take a different look at things. Things might be different. It has been successful in terms of Chelsea, Arsenal, Cup Final, which, again, you know, it was a brilliant day. And to me personally, is what football's all about, going to Wembley. I've really enjoyed this season. Do you know what? That Cup Final, that League Cup Final, should be much later in the year. Don't you think?
Because
then you can really look forward to it. You know, then you don't get people like Paul Merson saying, "Oh yeah, it's the flip flop derby because they're all the Spurs players are on the beach." Well, it's only because the Cup Final was played in early March. If the Cup Final is in, you know, early May, then everyone's still playing to be in that Cup Final side, and so again, it's that scheduling thing. I've really enjoyed this season, haven't you, Cole?
Yeah, I've definitely enjoyed it an awful lot more than last year. I think it's been good. As you say, getting to the Cup Final, brilliant. You know, that's what we wanted. We got it there at Wembley as well. Unfortunately, you know, we met Chelsea, you know, there. But, no, I think, you know, for Pochettino's first season, everybody was a wee bit worried about him coming in. It was all right, look, we've got to give this guy the back and we've got to support him. But it's the usual stuff, you know, halfway through the season, you start to doubt him, start to worry about it. But no, look, in the end of the day, we're still up in that top six, top seven teams. We've got the Cup Final. We got a big run in the Europa League as well. You know, I think it's been a good season. A couple of players, you know, the likes of Chadley's, you know, improved, who we all thought wasn't going to be any good. Unfortunately, Lamella just hasn't done what we all sort of hope to do. But again, he's young. He could come in there next year.
Really,
I'm really
it's
looking
his first
forward.
Season this season. At the moment.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And hopefully, we talked about Harry Kane. You know, maybe it's going to be a second season for Lamella, you know, to hit the ground running. But, you know, I'm really just looking forward. Obviously, I don't hate this in the end because going those 2 months without any football is a nightmare. But I'm really looking forward to this summer, Steve. And I've said it to a few guys that I know, just to see what he does, you know, who goes, who does he bring in. You know, the rumours are already starting. But I'm really interested. Obviously, we've got the guy Paul Mitchell in the background as well. So it's going to be a really, really interesting summer. I'm really excited about next season. I do believe we'll be better. I think we'll have a better season than this season. And I'd really like to think we'll be up there really fighting for it. And you know, winning these silly games, if you look across our season, as you talked about before, the Stokes, the West Hams, you know, Leicester Cities, all these teams, you know, all those silly points dropped. You know, if you had them up, you know, you're up in that top four really, really comfortably. And that's why I was so annoyed the other week, you know, with the Burnley performance.
Yeah.
You know, there was, you know, if we had beat Burnley and beat Aston Villa, we'd have been sitting at the minute 2 points behind Man City, with Man City having to come to White Hart Lane.
Yeah.
And it was so, so disappointing, that those two games. And it actually just knocked the stuffing out of me for the rest of the season. But, you know, I really enjoyed the Newcastle game at the weekend. So it did, and it's always great to see Spurs win. But, you know, I'm just sort of looking forward. Let's get it over and done with, and let's see what happens. And really excited about next year.
Yeah. Stuart Jarvis wants to know why we blocked him from Facebook. I didn't remember doing that. Do you remember?
Yeah, I do. It was me. And I'll be honest with you, Stuart, I actually can't even remember now why it was, but it must have been for something probably. I don't block people just for nothing, so I don't know what it was. Send me a private message and tell me what happened, and I'll have a chat with you, mate.
I block people if they swear, or if they to ask me something and I reply, or and then they don't reply back, or they don't listen, or they don't read it properly and just ask the same thing over and over, and I'm like, oh, you know what, I'm sick of this.
I might block you, Steve.
Yeah. he also asked, still shouting for Addy to start. No, I want him to be on the bench instead of Soldado, just a personal preference. And all these people, you know, lots of people saying, you know, Addy Bayor, what's he doing on a Saturday afternoon? Or, you know, is he up shopping? Is he doing... Well, it's very difficult when you're not being picked, you know, to actually do anything. So, you know, pick the guy, bring him on for the last 20 minutes, and, you know, let's judge him when he's actually on the pitch. You know, again, not for him. No personal thing for him. Just for me, curiosity. I'd like to see, you know, what he would do in the last 20 minutes of a match.
Yeah,
because I know that Soldado does nothing. I know that. I've seen that, what, 15, 20 times this season? Every time he comes on, absolutely nothing. And when he came in against Villa, Dan Jones put the message, brilliant, Soldado's coming on. You know, as it, you know, the most sarcastic thing, because he just knows nothing's going to happen. Adebayor comes on, he's got his shorts pulled up too high, he's lolloping around, gets a little reaction from the crowd, a little bit of excitement.
Yeah.
Love him,
funny,
him.
Just you saying about it, and I thought about this the other day, what about giving Soldado, you know, full games to the end of the season?
See what he can do.
Just play him up front with Harry Kane.
I wouldn't disagree with that. What I do disagree with is bringing him on with 20 minutes to go.
Yeah, 15, 20
times we've seen it this season. Done nothing.
Just play the guy.
Patrick Milburn, will we use the summer transfer window to get someone to help Kane up top? Obviously, there's names being bandied about. Danny Ings, somebody that I think is pretty good. You know, this guy, Charlie Austin, you know, again, like, is it the Michu situation? You know, is he just having a really good season?
He's too similar to Kane.
Okay.
We don't need a Charlie Austin, definitely not.
Okay. Yeah. If we sign him, I'll remember that. I can't really.
I don't really like Danny Ings either, I'll be honest with you.
All right. No one's good enough.
I told you who I want. I've said it 100 times.
Sanchez. Suarez.
Who's on the top form at the minute in the Premier League?
Suarez.
No. Suarez plays for Barcelona. Who's on the top form in the Premier League at the minute?
What, striker?
Yeah, and I've said about him numerous times.
Go on.
Benteke,
yeah.
I've said it loads, and I know he's had a bit of injury. Look at him
now. He does look awesome at the moment.
Yeah, look, I just think that guy up front for us would be unreal. You know, he's Belgian. We've got a couple of the Belgian guys. Get Benteke in.
Yeah, all right.
You know, he's already spoken about, oh, I'm going to make my decision up at the end of the season. You know, the guy,
get in.
No matter what Tim Sherwood's doing at the minute, you know, Benteke does not want to be at Aston Villa for another season.
No.
Get in there, give them 18 million quid or 20 million, whatever it is. Get him in. You imagine, Benteke to me is a very, very, is another level above an Adebayor.
Yeah.
And you know how good Adebayor can be in his day.
Yeah.
You know, and I just think this guy's a fantastic player. Yeah. Really is.
And Daniel Levy made a comment apparently about, you know, we need to stay in our comfort zone of 10 to 15 million. You know what? A lot of people are reading into that. Don't read into it too much. We always fork out fortunes.
Yeah.
And if a player becomes available for 20, 25 million who's outstanding, Daniel Levy will buy him for that much money. Because that's the, you know, that is it. You know, don't try not to analyse these things too much. Sometimes, you know, comments are made, you know, in the heat of the moment, you know, and in different situations. But the number of times you've seen some a manager say, you know, we're not in for anybody, or a chairman say, well, we haven't got funds, or we are going to spend, you know, what was it, Arsenal two or three seasons ago said, we're really going to go for it. You know, the chairman said, we're actually going to buy loads. I don't think they bought anybody until the last day of the season. So, you know, just, I wouldn't read too much into it. Daniel Levy doesn't even know what he's going to be buying yet. But you know, if Real Madrid, that wonderful relationship we've got with them, you know, if they say, well, we're going to buy a new striker now, and do you know what, we'll offer you, you know, such and such player. Who's the guy they got up front? You know, he wouldn't come to us, but I'm just, mate, who?
Benzema.
But yeah, just an example. I know people are going, ah, we won't get him. I know that. Just an example. If they said, you can have Benzema for, you know, we're going to go and get this player for 45 million. If you want to raise funds, Benzema for 25, 30 million, you know, Daniel Levy will go, yeah, no problem. You know what I mean? So don't read too much into that, I wouldn't say.
Yeah, but we'll definitely, you know, on the question, we'll definitely will. I think we'll definitely sign strikers. But I said it, I think, before on the last show, you know, obviously with this guy Mitchell in the background, I think people need to be prepared for the summer transfer window that it might not be these massively well-known names.
Yeah.
You know, the way he done it at Southampton was he brings players, he's looking for players to fit the system. And at the minute, we haven't got a clue what they're looking at. And it could easily be a couple of guys that we go, who's this? You know, who are they? It could be the likes of a Danny Ings, who obviously I don't think's brilliant, but he's done really well this year. But he might just be the man that is the link.
Yeah.
You know, so people don't be getting carried away in the bandwagon going, oh, you know, the next big star that's coming out of Spain, you know, that we're going to sign him and all these top names. I think it'll be three or four, you know, really good players, mightn't be the biggest name in the world. I'd love like a Benteke, someone that's proven in the Premier League. So hopefully it'll be around that. But look, we won't know, but it's exciting, isn't it? Thinking about it already.
We'll see. Yeah. KG William, who from our squad would you keep and let go? I count 15 I would get rid of. So that's a good one. Just before you answer that, Graham Chandler also says, Lamela, Soldado, Adebayor, Paulinho, Capu and Cabal, who should stay and who should go? So, you know, there's a few there. What are your thoughts?
Have you got a list of them there in front of you? Can you get a list?
Of players?
Of our current squad, and just run through it really quick. We'll do it in 1 minute, and I'll say yes or no.
Do you not know our current squad?
Yeah, but I'm going to forget somebody.
You've been away for a very long time. Well,
right,
so let's do the goalies. All right, no, I don't need a list. I'll tell you who's in our squad.
Go for it.
Hugo Lloris.
Keep.
Yeah. Vorm.
Keep.
Okay, and if Vorm wants first team football, I wouldn't disagree with him going somewhere and getting someone else in, because I'm not convinced on Vorm. I think his positioning is pretty poor. And what about Brad Friedel?
Yeah, well, he's going to America, back to America, or keeping there as a coach. So that's,
yeah, I'd like to get one. I'd like to get you know, if Speroni, that guy at Palace, fancies coming and being backup. You know, I really like him, but I think there's a load of good goalies out there. Then you've got left backs. So Ben Davis.
He's probably going to keep him, but I'd get rid of him.
No, I think you've got to have him for at least a season to see if he can push on.
I told you I'm going to be ruthless here.
All right, Danny Rose?
Keep.
Okay, you didn't say that last year.
Yeah.
Nor did I. right back, Yedlin?
Don't know anything about him yet, so obviously he'll be there. Yeah.
Nor do I. If he's not going to play, wouldn't mind seeing him little loan out to a team coming up or something.
Yeah.
Probably Premier
yeah.
League, definitely Premier League, so we can watch him.
Yeah.
And then Kyle Walker.
Yeah, keep Kyle Walker. Oh. I know he has his moments, but still, he's a quality player.
I think he might come good. I'm sticking my neck out, but if he went for 10 million, I wouldn't be too disappointed. I've got to be honest.
No, I would. Not for 10 million.
See what else.
No, look, he's a quality. He's England international as well. Good player. Keep him.
Okay, Kirakesh?
Gone. Cheerio.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, Fazio?
Rubbish. Get rid. Don't rate him at all.
He gives the ball away a hell of a lot. But
yeah.
Him and Vertonghen were probably our most successful centre-backs that part of the season.
Still don't think he's good enough.
And by the way, Dyer, people saying that he's not a right-back, I appreciate that. But if you look at his performances and Walker's performances at right-back this season, I think Dyer's made two or three mistakes. Walker's made a load of mistakes. I'd have, if they were both fit, I think I'd have Dyer at right-back anyway.
He's going to be a good player. He's very, very steady.
He's good. I like him. He's a bit of a meathead
as well.
We're
keeping him.
I like the meathead.
Keep Vertonghen.
Of him. Yeah.
Vertonghen, keep.
I'll try not to talk over you, Carl. Sorry. Vertonghen.
Keep.
He's a bit stroppy, though, isn't he?
We're a bit stroppy, but you still have to.
I'd make him captain, actually. Give him that rocket to say,
yeah.
Right, now you can't be leaning up against walls at Anfield. You've got to be motivating the fellas, mate.
Yeah,
making
100%,
captain.
100%, definitely.
Yeah, that could be the making of him.
Yeah.
Be the making of him. Right, I think that's with the centre-backs.
Kabul, get rid of him.
Kabul, definitely get rid, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's massive attitude adjustment. But as far as we know, he comes out, he has that smile on his face. And, his best period was when he came back for Harry and he had about 6 months and he didn't smile once. And I'm only saying to you, the difference between Kabul when he doesn't smile is that he's taking it seriously and he's a really good defender. Trouble is this season, he puts his arm around the ref, doesn't he? And he's having a laugh with the centre forward. And you just think, take it seriously, mate. You know, this is not a comedy show. Anyway, nor is this. So then you've got the wingers. Lamella?
I would keep him.
One more season.
But I'm still in doubt. I'm big doubts about him.
All right. Townsend?
I'd get rid of him.
Oh, okay.
Don't think he's ever really going to do anything else.
All right. and then you've got Chadley?
Keep.
Do you know what? I think he could be the big surprise transfer this summer.
Right.
I think that like people show highlight reels and all that.
I think
if you show his highlight reel on YouTube, I think a big European club could come in and get him. And I'm talking AC Milan, a Juventus, maybe not Bayern Munich, but one of the other top German sides. I have a sneaky feeling that a big bid might come in for him, particularly if he scores a couple more goals.
Yeah, okay.
If people are looking for goal-scoring midfielders, they look at that guy, young, and the type of goals he scores as well are not tap-ins. You know, they're quality finishes. So, don't be surprised if he goes, although I want to keep him, certainly.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't sell him for any less than 20 million, honestly. And who would have said that a year ago?
Yeah.
Then you've got Mason.
Yeah, keep.
Paulinho.
Get rid.
Kapu.
Get rid.
Bentaleb.
Keep.
Who have I left?
I
should have had a list.
I see, you should have had a list. I think that's most of them.
Harry Kane. Harry Kane, keep, obviously.
Soldado gone.
Soldado, yeah, I'd get rid of Soldado.
Adebayor gone.
Adebayor. I would sell Adebayor, by the way. I would sell him because I think we should get, people who the fans actually
like. I think that's most. But look, to be realistic about it, they're not going to get rid of 10, 12 players.
No.
It's not going to happen, so... It'll be in. Oh, Eriksen, we didn't talk about. Obviously, we'll keep him. But it's going to be interesting just to see. I personally think 5, 6, maybe 7 might go.
Yeah.
And I only think there'll be 3 or 4 max, maybe only 3, coming into the squad.
Yeah, I think the guys that haven't featured at all, Adebayor, Kapu, they will definitely go.
Yeah, Kabul, all those boys, they'll all be gone.
So you know, but yeah, we'll see. Right, yeah. A THF podcast, with Walker still injured, is it time to give Yedlin a start instead of playing others out of position? Again, we talked about that.
Again, I was a wee bit disappointed at the weekend. You know, that we didn't see him. We'd love to have seen him, you know, to see how he was. But I would give him a run. It's a wee bit like Soldado there. I said, give him a run, you know, have a look at him.
Why don't we bid for this Chicharito? Just Real Madrid.
Well, he was offside there, but he just missed it.
Offering first team football. Yeah. Mind you, he probably sit on the bench. All right, the Spurs poet. What's the realistic aim of our club over the next 5 years? And cheers, Davey Elder. This is about a half an hour question, both on and off the field. Same old, if it's Europa every year, unless we sort out whether we were actually going to go for that or not.
I think if we go for it,
by the way, we can't then worry about the league because you cannot do both. Evidence shows you can't. Yeah. Oh, mate.
You know, I think, you know, to quickly answer Davey's question there, you know, I think obviously we've got the new stadium coming, so, you know, a lot of things are going to be going on like that. You know, being realistic, you know, and we've got to be realistic. Look, we've got a hope of trying to get into the Champions League. That's the best. That's the best.
Or at least challenging for it.
You know, yeah, you're right. I just want to have a real good go at it.
Yeah.
You know, we're sitting at this stage of the season going, we're still in touching distance.
Yeah.
Or we're sitting, like we were 3 or 4 years ago, you know, we're sitting in third or fourth. That's what we want. And obviously maybe a League Cup final again or an FA Cup final would be even better.
Yeah.
You know, that's where we need to be. Forget about winning the league.
Well, I don't think there's any reason, Cole, I don't think there's any reason why we shouldn't be in that League Cup final every single year.
Yeah.
Now, unless we come up against one of the top four or five clubs who play a full strength side, who, by the way, don't, you know, Chelsea's and the other sides, don't even play a full strength side in the semi-finals.
Yeah.
So there's no reason why we should not be in that cup final every single year. You know, you coming over from Northern Ireland, all the fans meeting at Wembley, which, you know, sorry to harp on about it, but it was the highlight. It's the highlight of the last 5 years for me.
Yeah.
You know, and so was the other cup finals. Brilliant. Right, mate. Peter Hines, it's obvious who is going to be sold and doesn't fit in. So any particular players you would like to see at the Lane? We've had a bit of a chat about that. And then it's he asks about perhaps Europa is good to blood in some of the youngsters. Yes, certainly. I mean, I think that that is a very good point, that Europa is very good for blooding youngsters with the likes of Kane coming through and next season. Obviously, people are telling me about Pritchard and these other guys. Although it's a good reason, it's nowhere near as good as the fact that we play in Eastern Europe, have to come back, and we lose to Stoke on a Sunday. I think that's more important than giving Alex Pritchard a game next season.
Yeah. But again, it is a good point, and it's something we've discussed many times on the show, is if we get there, just blood the youngsters. But the problem is, and you brought it up, the manager has to go with them.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to look right if all the youngsters and the squad players go out to, as you say, to Finland or out to somewhere, you know, out to, I don't know, somewhere in the back end of Russia. And they've no manager. You know, where's the incentive for them to really perform? So the manager still has to go on those trips. But that's what I would like to see, is, you know, the squad players, the guys that probably aren't going to be involved at the weekend, just take all of them. Don't take any of your key players. By the way, Cole,
all of those B team players or the second string and probably 75% of our youngsters will be on double, triple, quadruple the wages of any side that we play.
Yeah.
So if we take all the youngsters, play an under 21 side, right, and we lose to the side in Cyprus 1-0, well, let's just swap them all over.
Yeah.
So get those guys in. Right. Dan, silly by me, sorry. Dan Jones says, I have a shout. How about, just to be original, players enter pitch for a game, everyone is silent for 20 seconds, then erupt into a huge cheer and make it an intimidating place to be a fan and as an opposition player. My new Prem player mate says they 100% listen to the fans on pitch and it makes a difference. Silence, eerie, then a huge noise. Come on, you Spurs. What do you reckon about that, Cole?
Yeah, well, I don't think you're going to get, obviously, a whole stadium to go silent. You know, I don't see that point, Dan, now, to be honest.
I don't know why a Heartland can be.
Yeah, well, suppose it could be silent for 85 minutes. But, no, I know what he means. And,
something different. I like it.
It's something that needs to be looked at and, you know, to do something different. You know, at the start of the game, it's almost like a war cry, if you would say.
Yeah.
You know, get some new sort of song or something built up where, you know, I love when I watch these European games, the noise that these supporters generate. And a lot of the lower English league clubs and you know, seem to take a lot of things from these games, you know, and their chants. And, you know, if you listen to them sometimes, you hear the same sort of tunes. So it could be something, but again, how do you get something like that out there or started it? One big thing for me, and I hark back to going to Old Trafford and going into that bar before the game. Now, it's a Man United bar. I went in there, and they have guys in there with microphones that stand on tables, and there could be 5,000 people in these bars, and they're teaching people the songs.
Yeah.
And it was amazing, absolutely amazing. And, you know, maybe it's something around Spurs, if, you know, there's some real good pubs. You know, people in there, one thing I find when I go, there's never really any atmosphere in some of the bars. You know, everybody starts singing 10 minutes before you have to leave to go to the game.
Yeah.
You know, we just need to start generating. Actually, I think we need a lot more new songs, and we're starting to get more songs, but it's just the same. It's like listening to Chaz and Dave, you know, the Chaz and Dave CD. Yeah. It seems to be the only songs that we have, you know. So, no, but I know where he's coming from, but yeah, it would be good if there was something. And maybe when the new stadium comes, that's something that they maybe could look at, because I think isn't the plan. Hopefully there's going to be a cop behind one of the nets.
Mm.
You know, it's just going to be one tier, hold maybe over 20,000 people.
Yeah.
But they need to get the young ones in that end, you know, likes of the Fighting Cock guys and, you know, the 1882 movement. Give these guys sections and, you know, let's generate something there with it.
Well, I've said to you many times, Carl, that, you know, certain areas of the ground get criticised. As you know, I sit up in the West Upper and we get criticised for not singing. But, you know, believe you me, you know, when I was a lot younger, you know, I sat behind the goal quite a lot. I used to sing or try and get other people to sing. And then, you know, offered these great tickets. And I'm not going to turn them down, Cole. You know, you sat with me. They're brilliant seats. And you know, but all around us, Cole, it's all the old Spurs fans, all people who've supported Spurs for 30, 40, 50 years, you know. And I just say, do not criticise these fans, because we, you know, they have been going for years and years and years and years, forking out money to go and sit there, you know, and it should be the young guys behind the goal. And as you know, Cole, I'd look down at them, and I do think halfway through a match, why aren't one of you guys, you know, starting a chant? You know, what, you're scared? You know, you give it the large about the atmosphere, not being very good at White Hart Lane. Well, just start singing. I guarantee you that, you know, pockets of fans will join in and then you'll get it going. Just needs one or two of you to get it going. So don't complain. If you sit behind the goal, don't complain about the atmosphere unless you're one of the guys that gets up and starts singing and then, it gets... nothing gets going. You know, if you do give it a go, then fair play to you.
Yeah. I think the problem is, and I know it's like me when I come over, if I'm not with you, I always try and get behind the goal there. But all these guys that want to do it are all over the ground. You know, they're not in a section.
Mm.
You know, so and I've been, and I love singing at the games, even though I'm 41. I go and sing, and you know, you've sat beside me what I'm like.
Yeah.
You know, and I've got no problem standing up. Obviously, in the West Stand, I wouldn't do it with you because obviously the guys around aren't there. You know, they're season ticket holders. Well,
it's granddads and little kids.
So, yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. But behind the goal, but I think the problem is, you know, there's nowhere where there's a full section of these guys that want to do this thing. And it's like me when I go over, I can't get a ticket in there sometimes.
I don't know, Cole. I look down and all I see is young guys and their girlfriends.
But I think that's for the new stadium, and it's something maybe, I don't know if the guys from the Fighting Cock will listen to this, I'll maybe actually send them a message.
Oh, they listen. Good.
Well, maybe they can get on, because I know they've a lot of contacts in the club with the 1882. It's about trying to put something in place now for when the new stadium is built, that behind that net becomes a massive section of at least 10,000-15,000 guys that want to sing, and make it a singing section. And that's, if you want to sing, that's where you buy your season ticket. Because I know I'm on the list, and if I can afford to buy a season ticket, this new stadium, I'm buying one, and that's where I'll be. I'll be behind that goal.
Carl, all the podcasts listen to ours because they need to get ideas for their show next week. They all listen. Don't you worry about that. Right, mate.
You know, to round off the show, Steve, Southampton, big game this weekend. You know, more so because obviously the managers come back to his old team. They're going to be bouncing up for it. Early kickoff as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think on Saturday.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a great game of football. I'm looking forward to it. Unfortunately, I'll be in work, so I'll have to wait and watch the game that night. So I will. But look, at this stage of the season, yes, I want to win it. So I do. But it's not going to ruin my Saturday night, I don't think, if we don't get a result. But I have a feeling I can't see us losing the game. I think we'll either win or we'll draw.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. All right, yeah. Mate.
Okay, mate. Well, I'll see you soon.
Come on, you Spurs.
Yeah, come on, you Spurs. We call Jesse.